Our two Bible readings this evening come from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and chapter 20, and they can be found, if you're using the Pew Bibles, on pages 642, 644. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. The first to present his case seems right, till another comes forward and questions him. The second reading, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. This is the Lord's word.
Let's pray once more. Lord God, thank you that you have spoken to us, have taught us in words that we can understand. Lord, we praise you that you have given us instruction for how to live wisely, to walk uprightly in this world, as complicated and broken as it is. So Lord, help us to be humble and receptive before your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was in middle school, I had, for a brief time, a friend. Maybe you had a friend like this. He had an older brother, and because of that, he thought he knew everything in the world. This friend was a very confident young boy, and there are a lot of things that he told me that he was so confident about that I believed, sometimes for years, until I realized that he had no idea what he was talking about. Some examples. He had told me sincerely and straightforwardly that George Lucas was a Christian and that the Force is a reflection of the Holy Spirit. George Lucas, to my knowledge, even to this point, is not a believer, but loves New Age stuff, and that's where the Force came from. His friend told me that camel spiders have venom strong enough to kill a camel, and camel spiders are truly terrifying creatures. They're the most terrifying spider that I have not seen not living in Australia. You can look at pictures later. But camel spiders have no venom at all. Or more seriously, he told me, and I believed for years and was discouraged for years believing him, that we would not be able to recognize anybody in heaven. Also wrong. We've spent time talking about the importance of inviting instruction. That's what we reflected on last Sunday night. But not everyone around us is giving us good and reliable instruction. Not only do we need to invite instruction, we also need to evaluate and weigh what is told to us. That's what we want to consider tonight, the wisdom of examining what you hear. In that first proverb, we see that the wise is the one who examines what he hears by calling in another witness. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. This is a recognition of just a general human inclination. We tend to believe the thing that we hear first, which means we often think that we have a complete or sufficient understanding of something when actually we just don't even know if we know what we're talking about. We are inclined in our flesh to think that we are good at reading someone off of a first impression. There's studies of this around criminal court cases, of how bad people are at first impressions, and yet how often we trust our first impressions. And I've never been in a court trial, but I have watched many courtroom dramas. And I know that the prosecution always speaks first. And every courtroom drama I've watched, when the prosecution stops from making their first stated argument, I have this feeling. Well, who could beat that? Even if I know that the character is innocent, because the first to present his case seems right, until more evidence is brought forward, until another presents his side and examines what has been said. We are not good at first impressions of people. We tend to make sweeping judgments about someone and what they are always like after just one or two brief conversations with them. We are superficial and short-sighted. I remember in high school, we had a brand new history teacher whose name was Mr. Lee. And given that we were studying the American Civil War, we not so affectionately nicknamed him General Lee, because we thought he was a tyrant in the first week. But by the end of the first term, he was our favorite teacher. And when I say our, I mean my entire class. We loved Mr. Lee so much that other teachers made a way for him to come back when he had moved to the U.S. to come and join our class on our year 12 trip. And I still remember when our bus pulled up and he was waiting in front of the hostel we were staying and the bus going crazy over this teacher. What we saw at first, we thought we didn't like. Mr. Lee had come from an inner city high school in Los Angeles County. His rules were strict to us. But as time went on, we realized that not only did we love him as a teacher, he was a man that we wanted to be around. We are bad at first impressions of people. We're also often mistaken in our first impressions of situations. We see something at a glance and we think we know what's going on. I will never forget one time when my family was living in Dubai, a distraught member of the church called an elder from an airplane as it was taxiing. She had gotten married and moved to Dubai and become a new mom all in 1 year. And her husband, who's working a demanding job, had put her on a plane back to their home country. And she was calling, saying she didn't know what to do. She didn't want to leave her husband. And I thought I knew exactly what was going on. We saw it all the time in Dubai. Men who were so consumed with earning money for their family, they started to see their family as barriers to earning money. So they would send their families back home for the mother-in-law to take care of the family so they could just focus on their career. And it seemed obvious, that's what's going on here. The elders of the church, we were trying to figure out what to do with this guy. How to rebuke him, how to help him make a better decision for his family, when one brother wisely said, let me talk to him first. And it turned out that this sister was struggling with postpartum depression. She was a danger to herself and her child. And this was not a husband tired of his family getting in the way. It was a man at the end of his rope, not knowing what he could do to care for his new family. Things were not as they appeared to be. Gavin Ortland says this: humility refrains from too quickly arriving at a judgment. Humility feels no need to interpret and categorize others' words immediately. Humility is not threatened by the tension of uncertainty, of learning and growing. It is willing patiently to wrestle with new information. If we would be wise and humble, we need to recognize that our initial impressions must be examined before we build anything on them. Because our judgment, my judgment, your judgment is not perfect, because we are not God. What you hear often sounds correct, and sometimes it in fact is correct. but it must be examined. This is what Luke commends about the Berean Christians, that young congregation in Acts 17, that when they were taught the gospel by Paul, they rejoiced at what Paul was taught, and they nobly examined the scripture to see for themselves in God's word what Paul was teaching them. It's not that they were skeptical. It's not that they were distrusting, but they evaluated his teaching against God's word. And friend, you should do the same thing here. Don't be proud and unteachable. Don't start with a posture of skepticism, but neither should you just take something as true just because you hear it said in a church. Weigh it against God's word. You know, when a doctor gives you a major diagnosis, you seek out a second opinion, and the point of that, in the best circumstance, is not because you distrust your doctor. It's because you want to make sure what they're saying is correct before you make a drastic decision. And in the same way, as you learn Christian doctrine and Christian practice, whether from this pulpit or fellow church members or from books or for podcasts or whatever else, always get a second opinion. Consult at least God's word and consider whether the case is as good as it sounded when first presented to you. Some of us will struggle to be careful to consider instead of just taking it as it was said to us. And some of us will struggle to listen in the first place. In both cases, we ought to watch out for a self-justifying spirit. Cultivate a spirit of self-distrust, not leaning on your own understanding. The wise examines and evaluates what he hears, particularly what he hears at first. But in our second proverb, we see that the wise person also draws out more to hear. Not only do they examine what they have heard, they draw out more to hear. Because the wise person knows that their understanding is limited, they want to examine the deeper purposes. The purpose, Proverbs 25:25, the purpose in a man's heart are like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Friends, apply this to your own heart and your own speech. Learn to ask thoughtful questions about what you say and how you respond. Interrogate your own heart to draw out the deep waters. Why was it that in that moment you thought it was appropriate to speak in anger to that person? Why is it that in this conflict with this person, you're losing sleep? What is it that you want from them? Why did you change the topic when that Christian asked you that spiritual question? Why are you afraid of being corrected? Why did you give in to gossiping in that particular situation? What is it that you're wanting? These kinds of questions will help you draw out what's happening in your own heart to understand the purposes even of yourself in the words that you're saying. But this proverb, I think, is mainly aimed at understanding the words of others better. If you listen and draw out their purposes, you will be better able to understand other people's counsel as you draw out and understand what is the purpose they have behind the counsel they're giving to you. You know, this is what Job did with his three friends. So after listening to them for many chapters in Job 21, after 17 chapters of back and forth with his friends, Job says this to the three of them, "Behold, I know your thoughts and your schemes to wrong me. How will you comfort me with empty nothings? There is nothing left of your answers but falsehood." Because Job had listened and had engaged with his friends and asked more questions and investigated and drawn more out of what his friends were saying, he understood that they were not there to comfort him, but to put him on trial. Their purposes became clear to him. And so he was able to place their almost correct statements properly to understand what was going on. As I use Job as an example, not because we should always be suspicious that our friends are out to judge us, but because the book of Job helps us see how much work this can take. It takes work and it takes time to understand other people. And Job is also an example that the things that we most need to understand, the things that we're trying to draw out in order to gain more wisdom, is not just to learn about philosophical abstractions. It's deeply personal and often painful things that we're trying to understand. Why did that friend betray you? Why did that family member get angry when you said that thing? Why did that church member just ignore your loving advice? How can I react in a way that's promoting peace in these situations? These things take time and are deeply personal, not abstract. Because of that, one theologian commenting on these proverbs says this: in relationships, a ponderous question is often more useful than a quick answer. A ponderous question, by which he means both a heavy and slow-moving question and one that makes you ponder. A fool will assume that he already knows what someone else is thinking. And when we assume, we usually tend to do one of two things. We tend to assign bad motives to that person, or we tend to project onto them what we would think or feel if we were in their situation. In other words, the fool leans on his own understanding. But the wise person knows that I'm not God. And that means that other people are not just lesser versions of me, but they are their own people. And therefore, we must ask questions to understand the purposes in others' hearts. Friends, if we would grow in wisdom, we have to learn to love understanding more than we like the sound of our own voices. Otherwise, we will never learn anything we don't already know. We have to be careful to hear before we speak, because when you speak without listening, you bring shame on yourself, and you often hurt the people around you. We need to examine what we hear, lest we grow and calcify in being uncharitable and critical of others. We need to draw out more to hear so that we are not satisfied with just a superficial understanding of the people around us, as though that is enough in order to love and care for them as they need. And as I present the work of understanding, of examining and drawing out, one response to that might be despair of how much work it takes. But remember what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, that God has given us his Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. We have the mind of Christ. When you humble yourself to believe in Jesus and what he teaches us, not only does he give you his righteousness and his holiness and his love, he also gives you his mind to be able to understand things with the wisdom of Jesus, the one who is the Word of God. When we give attention to Jesus, the one through whom the Father instructs us, we gain not only wisdom for how to live in this world, but wisdom and understanding even of the deep things of God. But only if we are humble enough to remember that we are not God. Only if we are humble enough to delight in understanding, to invite instruction, and examine what we hear. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are patient to teach us, even when we are slow to understand. Lord, help us to be humble and quick to listen and slow to speak. Lord, help us to desire to grow in discernment and understanding of spiritual things, even the deep things of your very being and nature. Lord, help us to seek this, not to be puffed up with knowledge, but to have wisdom to know how to live faithfully and rightly in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.